of 15 to 20 million
jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the entire South, Southeast Pennsylvania area and southern area of Jersey and also northern Delaware. We have a tremendous amount of wonderful listeners. I'm going to ask all of you if you would go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you received an email this morning, forward that email to a family member and friend and invite them to tune in. And as you know, each and every week after the broadcast, we do send out a rebroadcast, and that is to welcome you to send it to your family and friends and also get more people involved. I'm encouraging all of you to look at the front page of our internet site, where you will see our 2017 theme, which is Support the American-Made Label, as well as the photos of our panel members, and of course, many links of interest to you. I want to first of all let you know that all of our panel members are on board today, and we'll be hearing from them about their holidays and what's been going on and how much American-made they've been finding. And also, I have some updates for you, and we'll talk about New Year resolutions as well. First of all, I want to welcome Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, very, very pleased to be your host, and of course a member of the panel, and doing everything that I possibly can to spread the good word about American Made. During the holidays, I was out to several events, and of course I had the opportunity to be, Larkin knows this place well, in South Philadelphia at St. Stanislaus on Christmas Eve, and then I was at St. Joseph's in Camden, New Jersey on Christmas Day. It was a lot of running around, but we had a great amount of people talk to us about the Made in America movement, what they're seeing, how they're feeling, and maybe we'll be able to talk with that today with that idea in mind, and also look for the future, what is going to happen. Just a few days from now, we're going to be celebrating the year 2017. It's hard to believe, but time passes very quickly, so it's important that we work closely together to change what we think has to be changed for the betterment of America and, of course, American workers, and that it's done as soon as possible. I'm going to pause now and ask all of our panel members to speak up as to how their holiday was and if they saw something focused on American Made that would let them feel a great sense of pride at this point. I'll start off with Mark Andel.
How you doing, guys? Hi, Mike, Larkin, Rich, Henry, and all the listeners. Happy holidays to you, Mike. I had a perfect Christmas. Just a lot of time with Jackie's family, our family, and the kids, and just a great time. We had some snow on the ground up here, so it really felt like the season. Made in America, our stores, my team, the family. I couldn't be more proud of. Again, we call it the 30-day run from Thanksgiving right till Christmas Eve. It was stronger than ever. Being a leap year, it's funny, you get a couple extra days of shopping actually this year with the 30 days. It's two more days than last year. So we finished strong, the big rush, because you go from 200 miles an hour down to, like 50 miles an hour because the heyday is over as of Saturday. But, people really get it. I heard some great comments over the weekend, even walking around to the stores. One lady said, I've never loved my country so much again. They're very excited. A lot of people have hope. I just see a lot of change coming for the positive. I've talked to a lot of positive people, but people are really, really understanding Made in America, why we need to make something again. And that's what's neat, Mike. I think all our efforts on this show and all we do really is working. You know, it's a slow process, but I do believe it's working. And we were proof because our stores were strong. You know, we beat last year in sales, and that's great to see.
Wonderful, Mark. And I have to say for the record that some of our listeners wanted me to report and make a clarification about a report that was seen on with David Muir on ABC about L.L. Bean clothing. While their boots are made in America, the large majority of their clothing right now is being made outside of America.
Yes.
But with the new things that are happening, the new spirit, and hopefully our Support the American Label movement this year for 2017, we'll get some of those people at L.L. Bean to come back to America and bring those products back. I myself checked. I have an L.L. Bean a sweatshirt, and it's not made in America. I'm not very
Mike,
happy.
That's been brought up to me before, L.L. Bean. I've actually been up there. You know, even though their prices are pretty pretty high, and, you know, a lot of the product isn't made here, and a lot of people have told me that because they go as a tourist and, you know, check it out. You know, I said that article a lot of times when people think foreign, they went over because, you know, it saves the consumer money. That's just not true. You're better off to build in this country, keep all the money in the headquarters, everything in our country for our taxes. And because usually consumers pay the same price. It's who's ever on the, you know, receiving end of the profit.
Well, you know, Larkin will tell you that people are not shopping the way they were in the past. Not only are they doing a lot of internet purchasing, but they're also looking at the labels and starting to walk away from the products. And they're saying to the store people, I don't really like that you're not featuring a 50-50 balance. It's almost hard to believe, guys, that we have to even be talking that we need a half of the products sold in America in the stores. It's ridiculous. It's insane. You can go to any other country and find 80 to 85% of the products they have on the store shelves made in their particular country. Larkin, how was your great holiday?
Good morning, Michael, Mark, Rich, Henry.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Larkin.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, good Larkin. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, really?
Larkin, is now the day. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Larkin.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I've got to tell you something. Not only thank you very much for thinking of me, but in the Catholic Church, today is the day of Holy Innocence. And I have managed to carry that mantra forward since my birth, and have really done nothing that hasn't been just totally innocent.
Oh my God.
And if I was in the studio today, you would see my nose is about 14 inches long as it was before I started. I had a wonderful Christmas. I really did. Two of my four grandchildren were involved. The weekend before Christmas, I spent with my youngest son, John, in Brooklyn and New York. And then I hurried home to spend Christmas with my daughter, Elizabeth, and her husband, Chris, and my two granddaughters, Charlie and Joey. And they had a wonderful Christmas. They're not quite that age. I think we've got one or two more years. But at 3.5 and 1.5, they did have a blast. There's no question. Charlie went from package to package, just ripping them open and looking at them and then going, okay, next. Whereas Joey would open it very pensively and then take it into a room and sit down and try to figure out what it was. So needless to say, Joey was opening presents until 8 o'clock Christmas night. but it was a wonderful, wonderful holiday. It always is. It's steeped with family, which is what everything is all about. And I can't say, you know, heck, I do Christmas halfway through the next week. I have my birthday, and thank you again. And then New Year's, where I make a whole bunch of resolutions that I can't wait to break by the 3rd of January. So
now I got to weld you something again, Larkin.
Life is good. Yeah. I still tell the story about the toaster, and I still occasionally send a text message picture of the toaster to one of my children when they forget about the Made in America mantra and why we do it. But Michael, you're right. There's a new movement. What we've been doing and saying, and some of our collaborative partners have been saying about Made in America is certainly taking hold. I don't think there's any question of that. And as far as companies like L.L. Bean are concerned, listen, this next 4 years with the new president is not going to be status quo. It's not going to be a conventional administration. We understand that. And if Donald Trump can really press forward with pride in country and fairness in the marketplace, then we're going to have four, great years. I understand that the Obama administration thought that we lived in solely an international economy. But, boy, if you can't sit down and take care of your own backyard before you take care of anybody else's, you got a problem. But it's going to be a great 17. If somebody could just sneak up on Trump and steal his cell phone from him so the tweeting would stop and he could get down to work and really produce some wonderful changes. It's going to be – there's no status quo, though. I mean, he is going to question everything from the amount of money spent on the plane that he flies around in all the way up to – do we really need to belong in the United Nations? I know people are walking around going, you got to be kidding me. What did he just say? But these are all really poignant questions. You know, NATO's a fine organization. It's supported by the United States government. The United Nations, great organization. Again, supported by, the United States government. We've got to get along in this world, and I don't think we need to be the powerhouse that everybody thinks about. But we've got to be a strong nation that stands up for the difference between right and wrong. And, I just think 2017 is going to be a very interesting year when it gets down to what happens in the marketplace.
And I see, Larkin, everywhere I go, people are talking about people being unemployed long term, people not knowing what's going to be happening in the future. Many people are very thrilled with the Trump idea because he's a businessman. He will focus on businesses. So I think we have to have enthusiasm and we have to stay united behind our 2017 theme, which is support the American-made label. And I think that message welcomes everybody to participate, no matter who you are or what you're making. If you put an American-made label on there, we want to support you.
I know that it's the same with any outgoing administration, that they look to shore up their legacy and make sure that everybody remembers all of the great things that they did. And I have a lot of respect for Barack Obama. The economy isn't one of his stellar successes. You know, he inherited a very poor economy. But in 8 years, we still aren't anywhere near vibrant. And some of the stuff that was done back in the 40s, to overcome the Great Depression, certainly wasn't done to overcome, the Great Recession or whatever we call what we just went through starting in 2008. But I don't know. I just hope somebody starts to support the right thing, that starts to support our workers, starts to support our citizens, starts to respect our borders, starts to respect the rule of law, starts to respect all of the things that make this country a great place to live.
Excellent. Well said, Larkin. And Dr. Rich Logis.
Oof, man, that was, thank you, Michael. Larkin, that was good. That was real good. And happy birthday to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And you know, and a follow-up and happy new year to your family and, you know, to you and Joe and Mark and all of us and our listeners. A couple things, Michael. First on the politics and then the personal. You know, as I'm listening to Larkin, I'm reminding myself that of something that we said a lot on this show, and I really thought then, before the election, I still think now, and I think more to come, that we're really witnessing a truly historic time in America's history, in our just in this entire path from 240 years ago to now. You know, we just elected someone with no military or political experience for the first time in our nation's history because of a lot of reasons, but a main reason of which is what Larkin just touched upon, which is we don't want the same old, same old. And I think no matter how hard President Obama tried to sell himself as not same old, same old, I guess where I'll give him credit, although I don't say it so much with favor, you know, he did say when he ran in 2008 that he was going to set out to transform America. And he did. You know, he did do that. And the way that he did it was really, you can really look at why someone, you know, why does a president, you know, if you think about if we were in that position, guys, why does a president, a congressman or woman get out of bed in the morning, right? What is the political motivation to go to that work that carries a lot of responsibility with it? And I think that the president's motives were much more rooted in activism and progressivism and transformation than they were in those things that Larkin just said, economy, small business, our borders. So I think you just have to always look at, you know, the intent of and the motivations for people in these positions. And, you know, on the flip side of this history, the country just rejected not only the most corrupt and dishonest candidate in the history of our country, those would have been the good traits if they ended there. Unfortunately, what made Clinton historically bad and unprecedented bad was she was someone who owed the world, like half the world, political favors from her foundation. I promise you that all of those countries who gave millions here, tens of millions here, hundreds of thousands there, did not do so out of the kindness of their hearts. They did it to hedge their bets for when, not if, but when she became president. So we would have had a president who, you know, entire administration would have constantly gotten the phone calls from foreign governments to say, hey, I gave you X amount, I need this. And that, to me, is a pretty scary reality that we came close to that. Because I really think that if this country ever were to elect a president such as she, I really don't think we would have recovered. And that sounds perhaps dramatic and hyperbole, but I would challenge someone to counter me on that claim because I think that right now I had said that I thought that if the Democrats got this election, they never, ever would have lost another presidential election in our lifetime. And the good out of all of this is many, many people who have said to me that they feel like their faith in our republic and our democracy has been restored from this election, Michael. So I hear that, and I look back and reflect on the year. So for all of you who did a little bit part, many of us will never be known publicly, but the fact is there are a lot of American heroes this year. Some of them are known publicly. Some of them aren't. I shared with you guys, and I'll share with our listeners, the text message that I sent you from a listener in New York. And he said to me, he said, Rich, you know, a debt of gratitude to the radio panel. And this individual, guys, I want to tell you, had Get Out the Vote drives in Michigan and Ohio, which turned out, amongst other states, but those were two really crucial swing states. So we got a lot of people who did a little bit of heroism this year, so we can look back and say we saved the republic. Now, on a personal note, Isabella, of course, got the most gifts, to be expected. this Christmas affirmed what I've suspected since she was born, which is no one cares about Dad. Even my own mother gave more gifts to the cat, and she can't stand animals, than Dad got. So, you know, overall, it was a great first Christmas for Isabella. And thinking about the future going forward, guys, I want to tell you, I think that the coming year in particular, we're gonna have an awful lot to be talking about on this show. So to all of our listeners for this year and in the past, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to make a promise on behalf of all of us. If you thought it was good now, just wait. It's going to get even better.
Well said, Rich. So, I want to tell you, well said.
Rich, I got to tell you, from experience, it is my birthday, and I am not 45 anymore, but I will tell you this. If you think it's bad now, wait till Isabella is like 12. You not only won't get Christmas presents, you probably won't even be acknowledged as being in the house on that day. So don't let it bother you. It doesn't get any better. Hey, Mark is the one that can really tell you about it.
Oh, yeah. Jesse turned 14. It's absolutely true. But I had twins, too, so that was I was tough on people. You know, me and Jackie, it was tough on people. They had to bring two of everything.
Well, Larkin, I'll tell you this to that point, just real quick, guys. You know, I'll tell you a really quick story here. We have our grocery store, Publix. Publix is the largest employee-owned company in the U.S., Publix supermarkets. Their mantra is a pleasure to shop at. I have to tell you, it is. It's a great business. It's where we go for our shopping. I'm friendly with one of the managers there. I go to get a Christmas card the other day. I'm looking and looking and looking. There's Mom. There's Grandma, there's Grandpa, there's Best Friend. There's a section, Larkin, for cards for your pets. So I call Juan, the manager, over. I said, Juan, am I missing it, or is there not a section for Dad here? Where's the section for Dad? I'm looking for Dad cards. He's looking. He said, Rich, there's no section for Dad. I said, Juan, you how many kids you have? He said, I got two kids. I said, no one cares about us. We don't even get a Christmas card. Cats and dogs get a Christmas card, Michael. We don't get a Christmas card. It wasn't even at Publix. So what am I going to do? I had to go make a makeshift Christmas card because they didn't have for Dad.
You sent yourself one, Rich.
Yeah, that was the only gift I got. It was a gift to myself, Mark.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we had the same reaction at the house. We have the little Gabriella now and my daughter Marion and her husband, Drew. Everything was focused around little people. And I did look at all the gifts that I possibly can. Some are made in America. Some are not. But I'm hoping that with our 2017 efforts, we'll be able to influence more people. And what was just said, that we a lot of influence has been done in the last year. Our efforts on this broadcast to our people is to influence them now to speak up more than ever about the American-made label. Because right now we're having a change in Washington, a change in many of the houses, whether they'll be perfect or not. But if the people speak up about the American-made label, we will have success. It's only when you're silent that people don't pay attention to you. The old expression, the squeaky wheel gets the most attention, very true.
And Mike, we came into this year, our team, and said we're going to be consistent with our message. We're going to try to educate more and make people more aware. And people are still blown away that we have nothing that plugs in. We talked about the toaster, but still, we'll keep rolling. But when that happens, when I get that first item, we're going to make a big deal out of it on the radio show. And yes, you guys will be sent one. So hopefully it's this year. We can buy and sell one thing that's 100% made in America that plugs in.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. As I said earlier, it's almost hard to believe that we have to discuss the problem of not having these major products that we fill our life with, toys and electronics and clothing. How is it possible that what was 100% made in America is now 10% made in America?
Is it not said in the United States of America? That's a big eye-opener when I bring it up wherever in a speech in a room, just talking to a customer or a bus, you know, loaded. They cannot believe that. And that really makes them think, and that's what we want to do. We want them to think and look and go, how do we get here? So we will do it, and we're going to do it one day at a time, but that's what our goal is. We have to make more things in the United States of America because this is our country.
And we have to build up the industries with one, you know, one success at an, at a, after a next. We have a lot of industries in America that have been sneaking out a lot of their production overseas. That has to come to a halt in some way. Maybe the new president or the Congress or the Senate will make some kind of a rule finally that if a company is looking to leave, that we talk to them prior to their moving out of the United States to see what can be done to save jobs for Americans. And then we have a number of resolutions we're going to talk about today. And somebody said they wanted to give a few resolutions this week. Who was that? Was that you, Rich?
Well, I had given him, Michael, that's actually a good point. You remind me that I had asked, I asked Santa, I told Santa what I wanted to be when I got older. And I said I wanted to be a Democrat when I got older. I left milk and cookies out for him. He ate the cookies and drank the milk, and he left me a note. Santa left me a note, folks. And he said to me, Rich, in order to be a Democrat, you need to blame the NRA, Russians, and WikiLeaks, and racism more for why you lose. If you don't blame that stuff enough, you can't join the club. So he told me, try harder this year. I'll see you next year. So, you know, Larkin, I mean, I don't know, you know, Santa, I don't know if he's a Republican or a Libertarian or an independent. I suspect he's probably an independent. There's probably not a lot of politics in the North Pole. But
he gets around, though, Rich, you know.
That's what he told me. He wrote me a letter. He said that stuff. And, Mike, you also remind me that I wanted to thank for the not only for your card and the gifts, but also for the card for Isabella, for all of those who signed it. It was very moving, really humbling to know that so many people had, that they just taken an interest in us and signing that card. And my mother-in-law who's visiting, and Michael, I want to tell you, not to embarrass you on air, but my mother-in-law is visiting from Poland. So when she hears the show, she doesn't speak English, but she knows the voices. They're all distinct. And she asked, who's the host? And I said, oh, that's Michael. And so, you know, my mother-in-law is single, Michael. I just want to let you know. I just throwing it out there, you know. And Mark, I had your last night. We had the Polish cutlets. I opened that moonshine hot sauce. So, you know, the thing about hot sauces, everybody always sells them as, like, you know, the second coming of hot sauce. It's hot. And then you taste them, and it's, but I want to taste something. That sauce is damn hot.
Did you like the not made in China?
I love it. I love it. That the whole package of it, look at that. Just a little thing. You know, you look at it like, oh, it's just what's the big deal with sauces? Well, the fact that everything A to Z Mark, right, 100% made here. And when I would show that to people, there was like this really pleasant shock and surprise that they would see something that was 100% made here. And it makes people realize that, yeah, we are, you know, we do make, there are things that are made here. There's certain things that we want to make more of. There's certain things we make a lot of, but we can't just rest on our laurels. We have to, and I think this is where the new president is going to set this tone, that after 45 years of making money, he's not going to just stop having that mindset, right? After 4+ decades of earning an income, building businesses, and making money and employing people. So that's going to be the tone. And I think the tone that we're going to see out of the White House, and the Republicans have an incredible opportunity in front of them, that I'm going to say, Larkin, they don't get it right, they're not going to get another chance again. So it's always about, in business, you have the consumers drive the markets, and in politics, you have the electorate driving the market. The Congress right now, especially the Republicans, they have to be, if they're smart, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, if they're looking at the electorate, they are saying, whoa, if we don't come to work, if we don't come through, those midterms are coming quick. And now they know, Larkin, that their jobs perhaps are not as sure a thing as they may have thought before.
You're right.
And they're going to have to deal with a very unconventional administration. And that's the part that really becomes interesting, because there hasn't been anything that has come up from Cuba to the United Nations to Israel to NATO that Trump hasn't questioned. He hasn't said why. Why have we done it this way all this time? Is it time to revisit this and think about a different way? And it, quite frankly, has a lot of politicians who are acclimated to the status quo and think that it's just absolutely perfect right now the way it is, because they get elected on bull hockey. And that's all they sell is bull hockey. And now all of a sudden we have somebody sitting there going, that sounds like bull hockey to me. Why do we do that?
And Larkin, I think that's how you make change. You ask the question, check everything out. Right. If it's good, you put it back in, right? And I think he's very, very confident. I don't think. I know how confident when your own team didn't like you, nobody likes you. The confidence that Trump has is inspiring.
Yeah.
Do you agree? I mean, the confidence, this guy.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of confidence.
He doesn't care what anybody thinks. I mean,
but if you ask that question, things will get checked out, and that's what we want.
Right, right. That's exactly what we need. There's no question of that. We really need to go into, well, we're already into the new millennium, but I mean, we have to question what it is that we do and why we do it this way. We've never questioned that before. That's why change has been so hard to come by, because everybody just loves the way it is. It suits, it certainly suits career politicians, and they just love it. But this is just perfect. We know the rules, and if you don't play by our rules, you're not going to be part of our club. And now all of a sudden, Trump is going, oh, we have a club here, do we? So it's going to be...
Who's paying for it?
It's going to be fun. It is going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be fun to watch. It really is. I mean, there's nothing that is sacred in the coming years. There is nothing. I mean,
you know,
it's going to question it all.
And I think, Larkin, that this, you know, the lack of the status quo that's going to become the new tone is part of the reason that I think it's a shock to the system for many, is just because we've been so used to the opposite for a while, right? We've been used to the opposite for the last 8 or so years. The president asked Homeland Security to scrub the words radical Islam out of reports. That's not even political correctness.
No, that's steps way beyond political correctness.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, okay, you know, what's politically correct? I don't want to say Merry Christmas, so I don't offend. Okay, you know, say whatever you want. Who cares?
Merry Christmas, Rich.
Right, Merry Christmas. You know, I don't celebrate Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas anyway to you. You know, like, when you hear that kind of stuff, like the words radical Islam are scrubbed out of Homeland Security. When you hear how, when Michael Flynn, who's now National Security or National Intelligence Director, I have to check the exact title, sorry. When he was in Obama's administration, and you find out that in 2+ years, the president never one time, not once, ever sat down with his national security advisor. I mean, to hear that kind of stuff, it, you know, in the post 9/11 world, you know, to hear the president say in an interview that ISIS wasn't on the intelligence radar. I mean, what is that, Larkin? Like, it's not necessarily about getting things wrong. Again, I understand when you're dealing with intelligence and foreign nations, a lot of times decisions have to be made with a little bit of information. Presidents are going to get things wrong. I don't even necessarily fault for getting wrong. But again, it's what gets you out of bed. And I think that the nonchalance about this very serious issue, I don't think the president has – it doesn't even bother him that he shows the nonchalance. So that's not even political correctness. I mean, you can go and watch, Michael, time and time again, military and intelligence officials go before Congress, talk about the growing – I mean, the words unrest in Middle East go together like chocolate and peanut butter. So to look at that and just say, oh, it wasn't on my radar – and, of course, we had the famous comment about ISIS being the JV team – It's not about getting it wrong necessarily that bugs me. What made me throw something at the TV was the president publicly actually said, no, it wasn't on our radar, when I'm thinking, well, I've been watching for the last few years military and intelligence saying that it was. So if you're not listening to those people, you know, what are they there for, right? And they're there to protect us. And there's no perfect system, Michael.
No, there is not.
You know, but to have a nonchalance, and I just don't think, I'm confident in saying, Mark, that I just don't think that kind of an aloofness and that kind of that tone is going to be the norm anymore. It's not going to be.
Gentlemen, I must take a moment to acknowledge some New Year's greetings from our sponsors. As our listeners know, we are on 7 days a week here on 860, and our Wednesday broadcast is devoted strictly to the American workers' movement. And I want to, first of all, say thank you to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Henry Chaplinsky for keeping, you know, me sane so that I can continue my efforts on the Wednesday broadcast. And I want to say thank you also to, I do the Saturday broadcast, which is a variety program, and we have a lot of listeners, all nationalities imaginable. And a lot of those listen on Wednesday. I have a lot of comeovers from Wednesday to the Saturday broadcast. They like the music and the good time and the positive message that we promote. But we have daily sponsors who help us financially to make our broadcast possible here on 860. And at this time of year, they want to say thank you for your patronage, and also thank all of us on our movement for pushing activities like National Small Business Weekend, also the newest thing that we've been doing, the American Made Month. And now with this year's broadcast, we're going to be pushing Support the American Made label, which everything made in our stores, our local stores, whether they're hoagies or pizzas or whatever they're doing, making kielbasa and babkas and everything else, they're all made by Americans and all made with American recipes and American products. So please do support your local businesses. Just let me acknowledge New Year's greetings from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. From the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. From the Washington Savings Bank and their locations in the Philadelphia area, Martin Bednarek is the president. From Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, serving clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And also, best wishes from Dr. Wojciech Zin and Everest Dental, and he has an office in Northeast Philadelphia. And Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, wishes you and yours a very happy new year. And also best wishes from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, and his staff from Port Richmond office at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue, and from Chester Kshanovsky, the proprietor of Serena's Auto Body Shop, and that is a big location. They have two of them, 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia and 691 Bethlehem Pike. Also, our friends and supporters at the Net Cost Market. They have two locations in Philadelphia. Wish you and yours a happy new year. And Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the PRCUA, wishes you the very best as you prepare for the new year and plan to support our efforts to support the American Made label. Also, best wishes from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, with two offices in Philadelphia, and Dr. Eva Machak, who has two dental offices, to keep your smile looking the very best. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street, wishes you and yours the very best. Also, our friends and major supporters from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. They have local offices, but they also do banking online, which is very popular. Check them out at psfcu.com. And our supporters from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue. If you're in the area, stop by the casino, open 24 hours. For more information about all the entertainment and what's taking place at the Sugar House, check them out on the internet at thesugarhousecasino.com. And also, Happy New Year wishes from Alan Dom, City Councilman of Philadelphia, as well as Mark Swilla, our City Councilman, and also from Pennsylvania State Senator John Sabatina and Lieutenant Governor Mike Stack, along with State Representative John Taylor and State Representative Gene DiGirolamo. All of them wish you and yours the very best. May I, before we go back to our panel members, just ask you to check out the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can see many links on there. You'll check out the U.S. debt clock to see that we're knocking at the door of $20 trillion in debt, and we have to change that. You'll also find the link on there to the Made in America store, which you can click on or click on Mark Andel's photo, and it'll go right to the Made in America store. We have to help one another because no one is going to help us if we don't stick together. So please do check out and do as we ask you to do all the time. Spread the word about our broadcast, and best wishes from all of us here on 860. All of our engineers and our Barbara Ilnitska and family and Tim Hollerin and Henry Chaplinsky, everybody involved with our daily radio broadcast, wish you and yours the very best. As we say in Polish, Szczęśliwego Nowego Roku. And now let's get back to our outstanding panel, and let's talk about a few New Year's resolutions. And I would like to offer a few of my own, which I'll be talking about during this Saturday's broadcast. Larkin, do you have any special resolution you're going to do to support American workers this year?
Well, Michael, I'm going to continue to work on our initiative that the American worker has supported in their endeavor to very proudly make a living in this country. And, you know, I wanted to add something to your earlier remarks about our sponsors. I, too, appreciate their willingness to step up to the plate and associate their names and their businesses with what we're trying to accomplish. And it's much appreciated. And to them, I say a hearty thank you. And here's hopes that they have a very prosperous new year.
Thank you, Larkin. They are. I appreciate them because I'm always asking for something, whether it's for the radio or the social service agency. And, you know, talking about social services, just let me take a moment. We've put a lot of social service programs in our country, mainly to hide the fact that so many Americans, especially working age and able-bodied Americans, are unemployed. This is something that we are trying to correct. We've done a great job. Just the fact that a number of people stopped to tell me, I heard what you guys were talking about, L.L. Bean, on the show, and I want you to know I went and looked at it. I looked at my shirt. I ran to the closet, and I looked. I did, too. And mine was made foreign. Now, of course, the one I had from some time ago, maybe 8 years ago, was made in the USA. But what drove these businesses out of America? That's got to be done by all of us changing what we do and how we do it and how we speak up. Support the businesses in your local community, especially those with a focus that are featuring a reasonable selection of products made right here or assembled here in the United States of America. When I tell you, I walk into stores and some of the regular employees immediately know that there will be some remark about American made. And I don't take that as, you know, being a character. I take that as a compliment because it's not always the same people when I go to the stores, but they know I complain about the cards. Rich, when you went looking for the cards, how many of the cards that you saw were made in America? This is a problem. Now, I know American Greeting Cards brought more of their cards back to America. So I've been looking at the backs of the cards and seeing that they're made in America. So compliments to America's Greeting Cards. But there are a lot of other companies that went out and have stayed out.
Yes. You know, Mike, we sell Leaning Tree cards, which are very popular, and they're 100% made here. You know, one resolution, Mike, I want to get a little store-in-store down in your Philadelphia area, so I'm gonna say that today. These store-in-stores, you know, if L.L. Bean doesn't have product, maybe we'll be able to help them someday because, you know, our team is on fire, and, you know, collecting Made in America products, getting the letters of 100% authenticity takes a lot of work. And where we came in 6 years, just so proud of the team and family and all we've done. But we're making a difference. You guys help. Thank you for all your support and all you do, Mike and the crew, Rich and Larkin and Henry, too, because hats off to you.
Well, let me tell you something, Mark. I have been thinking about what you've been doing, and we are looking to do something like that. In fact, we have another little two ideas that we would like to put together to make this thing and help one another to promote what we're trying to do. And may I just add this before I go back and ask Larkin and Rich. Every time you go shopping, pick up every item you're considering to purchase and look at the tags, the packaging, to see exactly where the items were made. You know, 10 years ago when I was telling people to do that, they said, oh, I don't have time to be bothered with that. If I like it, I take it and be done with it. Well, believe it or not, a lot of that type of attitude has led to where we are today. So I'm encouraging you, pick up every item. Be sure to make it a point to the store personnel, the manager, the owner, whatever, that you're supporting the American-made label. That's our theme this year. Support the American-made label. If they don't have it in their store, shop elsewhere. Dr. Rich, what is your thoughts on a resolution?
Well, Michael, a lot of big wish list, big one. But I'm going to tell you one that it's been one near and dear to my heart, which is that for the coming year, I'm going to give one legit. Okay, might not be a Democrat. I don't actually desire to grow up and be a Democrat. I was only kidding, in case anyone was wondering. But I do have a serious resolution, which is that I really hope, Larkin, that this is going to be the Congress and the President who really start to get health care figured out. And you know what? We actually, guys, have it figured out. I'm listening to Trump and the Congress talking about opening up the state lines for competition and also separating those who are not healthy, perhaps, have pre-existing conditions and separate insurance pools. Look, we don't want anyone not getting care in this country. This is not who we are. We are not Cuba and Venezuela and you know, third world theocracies where the sheiks live large and everyone else scrounges for the medicine. That's not who we are. But the fact is, nothing is free. So this is an effect. This could be a very effective way to not intentionally put health insurance companies out of business, but to tell them, look, starting on whatever date, you're now going to, if you're in Florida or you're in Pennsylvania or you're in New York, you're now going to have to compete with companies all across the country. So we're not going to put you out of business, but you're going to need to work harder for the business. And what will happen when that competition improves and when, you know, good drivers get a good rate, when healthy people can get a good rate, you will see the costs almost immediately go down. And the thing with also, just as a personal note here, okay, when it comes to health care, well, my wife left her job, and I wanted to keep my insurance. When I saw how much it cost, Mark, to keep our insurance with my wife not working, there was no way I could afford it. And this is not, I'm not saying this on air to solicit and garner pity and sympathy. Who cares about, you know, who cares, right? Oh, so what, you're one person. But I know that I'm, you know, one of many. So I don't understand why just 3 days, 4 days out from the year 2017, me and Mark Andel and Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer and other small business owners, why we keep getting the short end of the stick when it comes to health insurance.
Yeah, Rich, you bring up a great
point. Why are we still, you know, and again, I'm not, Mark, you and me aren't asking for anything free.
Right.
We'll pay. But I just don't get why right now we small, the group of people who drive the economy in this country. So healthcare problems, Obama did not create them. I have to be fair. Let's be fair about this point. He didn't create those issues. There were things that he did where it helped people get insurance. But I have one of those plans as a disclosure. I have a marketplace plan now because I couldn't afford it. So, you know, the president will say, oh, Logis is a success story. I hope it does work out, actually. The company I'm with is new. I'm not going to name their names, but they're new. I hope, Mark, in 3 or 6 months I don't get that letter saying, well, we're going to have to bump premiums up. Or I don't get that letter saying, well, we got to pull out of Florida. We can't, you know, it was cool while it lasted, but we can't stick around anymore. So that does make me a little bit nervous. Why? Because of my wife and our baby. Forget about me. I'll go to the voodoo doctor. You know, don't worry about me. Right, Michael? I'll go to where they put the pins in the doll. I'll tell, look, my neck hurts. Put the pin in. You know, like, forget about me. No one cares about that. But, Mark, I'm just saying. So what I'm hearing out of the Congress and with the president-elect, I'm really liking it. So I really – and nothing will be perfect, but I just hope that this is going to be the year we're going to look back and say we finally started to get health care looking like more of a business and less of a monopoly. Our care is the best in the world.
And Rich, I want to add, if I could, see, the hardest, this was the hardest year of my 32 years. I started at 18 in business and 50 years old. 32 years in business, toughest year I've been through because General Welding got the oil industry got hit. So we do all products and desilters, desanders, and separation equipment that go on oil rigs. So terrible industry for 2 years now. And then the juice press industry got hit, and then it didn't snow last year. So very, very tough year. And it caused me, when you bring up health, Rich, nobody realized I'm in the driver's seat, 67 employees. I had to cut all my good employees. And Larkin, you watch the ones that crawl on the ground. I had to cut their benefits, the people that are working so hard right now. And Rich, you're dead on. If we can answer that problem and be able to give our employees the health benefits they can and dental, incredible. That's just the first thing to work on for a small business. And everybody that's listening that has a small business, they know what I'm talking about because they write the check. It's out of control.
And you're right, Mark. And this is what drove many of the companies out of the United States, having to pay all those extra taxes, yeah, having to provide benefits. It can't continue. Maybe we will see new change, and we have to promote this president to make those changes. Just because he's a new president doesn't give him a carte blanche to just do whatever. We want to make sure that he does what he said he was going to do, and we have to continue to carry the ball so that he does what he said he's going
and
to do.
And people have to have an understanding, Mike, that it needs to be done.
It has to be done now. It's now or never. It's now or never. Rich, you were right, and it has to be done. There is no way around it at this point. You know, guys, when you go to your New Year parties and whatever, make sure you let your family and friends know about the Buy American Made campaign, and also talk with authority about the 2017 campaign theme, which is support the American Made label. Tell the people how the small businesses are so important to their community. Tell people to look at the label. And by the way, that type of example, you're speaking up as we are speaking up on this broadcast, means more than you realize. People take your example and say, hey, well, Mark said it, and Mark said it at our party. He's serious, and Rich said it here and there, and Larkin did, and Henry, and Michael. You speak up with authority that you're out to help America. I don't know of any working age and able-bodied person that would prefer to be sitting around doing nothing, especially if they have a family to take care of. They want to have a means of support, and this is an opportunity for us to keep going up the hill with success.
You know, it's. I think the best thing that we can do for healthcare is exactly what Rich mentioned, and that is break down all the barriers. Blue Cross Blue Shield is not going to be happy about this, but they have Blue Cross Blue Shield of Pennsylvania, Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, Blue Cross Blue Shield of New York, and they charge different rates wherever they can. They get as much as they possibly can. They don't, but nobody else can come in on top of them and compete. Competition is probably one of the biggest things that we can do for healthcare right now. But
and we've been lacking that competition for years.
Oh, it's never really existed since at least as long as I remember. But you know, between a bloated government, egregious taxes, an anti-business atmosphere. I can go on and on and on and on with the problems that we face. Inadequate health care. The problems are, I can't imagine why anybody would want to be president right now and tackle these problems, because many of them are, in fact, a threat to our very existence. And I'm not kidding about this. They really, they genuinely, truly are a threat. And, you know, I have a really good friend, Bruce, who has called in before, who has said to me, you know, where is it written that America is going to be on the top of the heap forever and ever and ever and ever? It didn't happen to the Romans, all the way down to the Brits themselves in the early 19th century. I don't know. All I know is that our way of life is under threat. And if somebody doesn't come along and start challenging the status quo and start questioning everything that is done and why is it done that way, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we spending $5.4 billion to build a jet for the president? Nuts. Nuts. Come on, Trump. Question the status quo and knock yourself out.
Great. Well, as you can hear, it's the New Year's music Henry is playing. I'm going to, again, say thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Henry Chaplinsky. And to everyone who's been helping us, our sponsors, all of the people that send me suggestions about the show. During 2017, we're going to get some additional guests on to highlight what they are doing to help industry in America, what their suggestions are. We have a lot of people who were on the broadcast before. I'm going to bring them back, and let's see what's been happening in their life since the last few years passed, and let's see what we can do to make a real change in America absolutely happen this time around. Mark, what would you like to say as we sign off?
Just wish you and your families, you know, and all the listeners a happy new year and a prosperous new year. And I think I'd like everybody to have more enthusiasm, be even more positive, and, you know, avoid the negative people and negative talk. But let's go forward, and God bless and happy New Year's, everyone.
God bless you too, Mark. Your help is really appreciated. Rich.
Yeah, same to echo Mark. For all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to personally promise, as good as our show's been, it's going to be even better coming this year. So happy New Year to everyone. Thank you.
And Larkin.
Well, I hope that 2017 is the best year that any one of us has ever had, from everybody on the show to our listeners, to the country, to the world. I hope it's just, peace on earth. Imagine.
God bless. Henry.
Happy New Year.
Very good. Henry's a man of few words most of the time, anyways.
Hey, Larkin, how many birthdays do you have a year?
One.
He's 46 this year.
Happy birthday, Larkin.
God bless all of you, and have a very happy New Year. Thanks for all of your good efforts in behalf of the American Made movement. Do spread the word. Invite family and friends to visit AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
Happy New Year's, guys. Thanks, everyone.
From all of us in the Blihash family, Szczęśliwego Nowego Roku.